Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Amy with IntuitiveCoachingWithAmy.com. In my last show, I did a podcast on settling. And I thought, you know what, I got a part two to that. And one of the reasons why we settle is self-esteem. So I've got some solutions if you want to do some self-work around self-esteem in a really easy way. In case you're new to my program, I am an intuitive and a coach. I help people create the life of their dreams. If you are ready to take your life to the next level, consider my massive result package. Information for that can be found on my website, intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. Click work with me and then the drop down massive result. It'll change your life. Unlimited sessions, you and me, 3 months. You will create a massive result. Okay, let's talk about why people settle, because I touched on it. I didn't go into detail. How do you heal that? Self-esteem, low self-worth, lack of self-love, not believing that we're in ourselves, not believing in our desires, not believing that God is on our side, not believing that our desires are of God are all reasons why we settle, right? So, let's create context because I think it'll help. I love doing dating. So let's do dating. So you've made your list. You know what you want. You probably read a book on dating and you get out there and you start dating. You meet somebody and they're cool and fun. But there are like some very clear things that are just not really matching up. And you're like, like the love bug or the subtle bug in us will be like, it's okay. We'll work with it. It's cool. I don't really need that. Like, we'll start making up a story. I talked about that in the last podcast, that will either change who we are or the subtle bug will try to convince us that it's okay that we're settling. Even as our logical mind will probably be complaining, like, oh my God, I hate that this person does not have a job or a phone or a way for me to reach them, or they don't communicate in a way in which I understand. I date a guy like that. He'd send me text messages and I would be like, I'd show them to my friends. I'd be like, what does this mean? I don't understand this language. Settling, totally. I settle too. That's how I know to teach on this. I used to settle. I don't settle anymore. I'm going to restate that because we are our words. I used to settle. I no longer settle. I always get what I want because I hold myself accountable, right? And I have done enough work on myself to the point where I can confidently, even as I'm feeling insecure about it, I can confidently say, Amy, you know what the right course of action is. You got to get out of this. So how do you heal the self-esteem if that's one of the reasons why you are settling? Well, I think really healthy people are going to hear this program and be like, oh my God, Amy, you're totally right. I have a low self-esteem in that particular area of my life, and that's why I've been settling. How do I heal this? Okay, I'm going to give you guys lots of wisdom. There is someone that's going to be listening to this program where self-esteem is totally the issue, but you're going to try to be like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Who is this girl? What's she talking about? My self-esteem is high. It may be high in your work. It may be high in your fitness. It may be high in your finances, but it's probably low in that particular area of your life. So here we go. One of the ways I have found to start healing my self-esteem is to have a mirror of what healthy self-esteem looks like. And because so much of our self-esteem was crafted, or the level of self-esteem we have was crafted, developed, took shape when we were younger, one of my recommendations for healing the self-esteem is to read children's books about self-esteem, right? Because I think, you know, we get older and we get all critical thinking and, you know, you get all heady about things and when it's really a very basic concept. So not only are you speaking to your inner child when you choose to read a book about self-esteem that's written for children or for teens, but it helps you override that super smart part of yourself. And, you know, we all have it. If you're listening to this program, you totally have a super smart part of yourself that is so beneficial in so many ways, but has an aspect of it where it works against you. And that can be like, oh, I already know that, or, oh, that's so basic, or, oh, it's so much more complicated than that. No, it's really not. It's really, really simple concepts that you didn't grasp in this particular area of your life. And so that you're settling, you're taking less than because your self-esteem is low there. Well, you can heal that, you know, start reading, you know, go to the library. I bounce between the Bay Area and Southern California. And so I have a library app from Pasadena where I can download digital books. I can check out digital books. And so I just checked out a whole bunch of books on self-esteem for kids and read them. They're fast reads. The information sinks in really quickly. I grasp what the concept is. I'm like, oh, I get it. Oh, that's where. Oh, that's what's going on. Okay, let's shift out of that. And so that's one of the best ways to start to heal your self-esteem on your own. Now, next layer to this is, say you read one of these books, one of these kids' books. Now take those concepts. This is where I would like your really smart brain to help you to bridge that gap and say, okay, how am I being this in this particular area of my life? So if you're being really judgmental, how am I being judgmental in my romantic relationships? Or how am I afraid of judgment in my romantic relationships? Let's see, what did I just read today? I read some good stuff today. Let's see. I read one that was a really fast read, and it was great. I was like, boom, okay. My vibe is up. I get it. I see clearly now. And then I was like, let's go deeper. Because I'm an overachiever when it comes to self-work. Because there's a lot of stuff I have to work on. So then I downloaded a self-esteem workbook for teens. That's the name of it. And today I did authentic self, like working through the authentic self. Where am I being inauthentic in my romantic relationships? Where am I being inauthentic in the dating process? Where am I being inauthentic in my work life? Why am I being inauthentic? Is it that I'm making decisions based on outside factors? Okay, I've got to clean up my mind and create a story that supports me having what I want, right? Yeah. So fun. And once you start to work on the self-esteem, just get a book. Just start looking at it and saying, oh, how is this showing up in my life? How is this showing up in my life? How can I stop comparing myself to other people? Maybe in romantic relationships, you've gotten into a habit of comparing yourself to your friends or couples you see on TV. How do you shift out of that and really live in your present reality and decide what you want for yourself and hold yourself accountable for wanting that for yourself? I said also in the last podcast that towards the end that people often settle and then they start to become a different person because I think it's just our way of compensating for settling. Be aware of that. I mean, it's so funny when I see, there's human me, right? And then there is highly gifted, intuitive me, right? I do believe I'm one of the best intuitives on the planet. I read energy very clearly for others. And so when somebody is settling and they start telling me a story, a brand new story I've never heard them tell as a result of them settling, I'm like, who are you right now? Like, you can't see it. You think this sounds like good, but it's just the result of you not believing that you can have what you want. And so how do we start to believe that we can have what we want? It is a practice. This is where your faith comes in. It is the repetition. It is acknowledging the small wins. It's acknowledging the desires of your heart. It's affirming to yourself daily that you are worthy and deserving of all that you desire. It is repetition. You have to retrain yourself, especially if you've come from a family where a lot of people didn't get what they want. And usually it's because they're not really asking. It's not that they're not getting what they want. They don't ask. Spirit can't bring us what we don't ask for. That's why in the last show I said it's so imperative. If you just get really, really clear and there's no vagueness to your desire, then you are less likely to settle, right? Yeah. So if you've come from a family where people didn't get what they wanted, or it can be challenging to believe that you can do it in a different way, but you must, it's your responsibility, it's your practice to practice, right? Practice believing that you can have what you want. If you have the desire, then it means it's possible. That desire is of God. And if you will just sit with it and sit with it and believe it and want it and believe it and want it and take action towards it and believe it and want it and take action towards it, it will start to feel inherently true. Even if, you know, going back to the self-esteem stuff, well, one of the reasons why we don't believe it is because we're like, well, nobody else around me is doing it. Well, don't compare yourself to other people. In this book, Self-Esteem for Teens, it says, do not compare yourself to other people, both positively and negatively. Negatively on the side where it makes you feel bad, and positively where it makes you feel good. Like, oh, I'm better than this person. But that's fleeting. It's not genuine. It's not real. I think, do the work. And if you've experienced some trauma, what I've found with people who have old trauma that hasn't really been processed and they've been carrying it around for X number of years in their life, they can be really resistant to doing any self-work because they know if they pull a string, they're going to have to deal with the trauma. And so if you're a person that gets kind of punchy about having to look at your... that might be a blind spot. It is not a reflection of you. Don't get embarrassed. Don't feel a sense of shame. Just say, hey, how wonderful is this? There's this thing in my life and this thought, this belief, this way of being that is keeping me from having what I want. I can work on that so then I can get what I want. Like I say, take, instead of getting ashamed, like, oh my God, I'm bad and wrong and this and that. Instead of going to that place where you can't heal, it's so amazing when I talk to people who are petrified of embarrassment. I may have been talking about this on the program because I've been seeing this theme a lot. Anybody who is so afraid to be embarrassed, I've found consistently those are the ones that don't want to do their self-work, even as they say they want to heal, because they're afraid by looking at something within themselves that's not perfect, that they're going to feel embarrassed about it. But don't feel embarrassed about it. Feel empowered. Feel like, wow, I'm in control of my game. I get to shift my mind. I get to change the way in which I approach this. I get to be more authentic. And if nothing else, just say, fuck embarrassment. I'd rather choose happiness because happiness is lasting. Happiness will sustain me. Happiness will keep me on this planet longer, right? Being afraid of being embarrassed will just stop your growth. It'll stop your evolution. And it kind of makes you an asshole. With all due respect. And I say that psychically, like as I'm in the energy field of people who are afraid to be embarrassed, like so deathly afraid that they shut down and any type of self-inquiry gets suffocated. I also find that those people are kind of dicks, right? And they're not fun to be around. So, hey, don't shut down. this is your time. Like, how amazing is it that we live in this time where God gave us these tools that we can reflect and shift our mind and heal and grow? And yes, maybe the trauma won't ever go away. It's there. It's a part of who you are. But you begin to love that that is in your life and it's a part of your experience. You have to love what created the trauma, but you can love that, hey, this is a unique part of who I am. And I can integrate that into my full self-expression. This has shown up to help me create healthier boundaries, to make better choices about who I'm around, to help someone else who has gone through something similar. So heal the self-esteem, get some children's books on self-esteem, then use your smart, super smart brain to bridge the gap between the children's book and what's going on in a very specific area of your life. So where are you comparing yourself to other people in romantic relationships if that's an area where you're settling? Where are you not being inauthentic in romantic relationships? I am all for having a good time. I am all for things that feel good, but I am most interested in lasting feel goods. Some feel goods are fleeting, like comparing yourself to other people and you feel like you're in a position of power and you're, you know, judging someone or putting someone down. Yeah, that'll probably make you feel good for a second. Like, oh yeah, I got a better grade or I have a better house or my finances are in better shape than so-and-so's. Like, you can say all that and it might make you feel really good for that, like, 10 minutes. But that's all it is. And I believe that true happiness, true feel good extends well past anything you could say about others. So do your self-work. If you're finding that it's so embarrassing and you feel so uncomfortable by doing it and you feel so ashamed and you feel so wrong, just remind yourself it's between you and God. Besides, even if no one knows your actual issue, like say you're so deathly afraid of being embarrassed because of a particular thing, right? Even if you think by not dealing with that thing that no, you know, you're keeping it a secret and no one can see it, I'm telling you right now, yes, I'm a highly gifted intuitive, but even if people can't name what it is, if it's a self-esteem issue, if it's a self-worth issue, if it's something going on within you that needs to be healed, everybody already knows. They sense it. They may not name it, because they're not a life coach, they're not an intuitive, but they already know, they can feel it. They can feel that, like, wow, so-and-so is so amazing. And then in this area, they just get weird and inauthentic, and it's uncomfortable to be around them. Everybody can feel it already. So why not just do the work on it? Just do it. And again, it's between you, God, and your coach. If you hire a coach, you, God, and your therapist, you, God, and the workbook. Nobody needs to know that you're doing this self-work, but everybody will see the results of you doing that self-work. And raise the vibration of the planet. This is the time. Like, we are going through this as a planet because this is the time for people to raise their own personal vibrations. I was saying in a class I taught a couple months ago that I'm like, isn't it interesting? Like, everything that keeps showing up in the world is requiring us to stay home. Like, I know when they were protesting, it required us to stay home at night. There was a curfew. When we were shelter in place, and I still think we all are sheltered in place and need to be sheltered in place, because there is work that we need to do with ourselves. We cannot change the world bullshit in a real, consistent, deeply focused way. It doesn't need to take a lot of time. It just needs a little energy and effort. All right, so work on your self-esteem. Get some children's books on it. And then go to the next level and 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 go to the next level until you're like, hey, I'm good with a self-esteem issue. Life is cool. I'm good. And it'll just happen. It'll just happen miraculously if you do the work. If you do the work. Do the work. Do the work. Can't say that enough to you guys. Do the work. buy the book, read the book, do the exercises in the book, hire the coach, do what the coach tells you, talk to the coach about how you're feeling, show up, do your part, sign up for the course, do the homework in the course, listen to all the modules of the course. If there's something you're not understanding and there's a place where you can ask questions about the course, ask questions about the course. It's not about looking cool anymore, because there is no fucking cool, right? It's just, it's about being the best version of yourself for you, creating a quality of life that works for you. And if it requires that you need to do some self-work around it, do it. You will thank yourself later. All right, I'm going to go. I love you. Thank you for listening to this program. I'm Amy of intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. If you are looking for a coach, if you are looking for some intuitive guidance, if you want some support, you've been doing your self-work and you're like, oh, I keep hitting this roadblock, then I would love to help you in your manifestation journey. Information for my services, again, can be found at intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. I'm on Instagram at amy.yancy, Y-A-N-C-Y. I'm on Facebook, but I haven't been on Facebook lately, the Intuitive Coaching with Amy page, but you can like that page. I'm on Twitter, but it really just feeds from my Instagram. So yeah, if you just want to talk to me, send me an email and I will set something up to talk with you. I have single sessions available. I have, if you're a longtime client of mine, I do have a pocket special that's available to people who've worked with me in the past, that you can inquire about. Send me an email at, or use the contact tab on my website and we can talk about it. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to this program. Take care.